For our scripture reading this evening, let us turn to the Epistle Paul to the Philippians, chapter 3, the first 11 verses. Philippians 3, the verses 1 through 11. And there we read God's holy word. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of Christ by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. So far the reading of God's word. The text of the sermon, and also of the meditations at the table, is found in the chapter we read, the verses 10 and 11. The verses 10 and 11 where we read the text of the sermon, God's holy word, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Beloved congregation, the epistle of Paul to the Philippians is a special one. And of course, every epistle of Paul is unique. But in this epistle, he expresses a strong bond with the Philippians through the word of God. In the past, he has labored among them zealously. But now Paul is in prison. And Epaphroditus brings him greetings on behalf of the congregation, accompanied with some provisions or money. And now Paul wants to thank the congregation by means of a letter. He loves the congregation because of the spiritual bond he experiences. He also warns the church for the dogs which threatens her. It appears that some are influenced by a heresy that goes around, namely, that you need to be circumcised if you want to become a true Christian. Another heresy that is spreading lets people believe that there is no need to keep the law of God at all, since we are delivered by Christ's work, and therefore also from keeping the law. And Paul becomes very personal and writes about his own conversion and his deep yearning, namely that he may know Christ. That is what he says at the beginning of verse 10, that I may know Christ. How can this be his goal while he already knows the Lord Jesus Christ by grace? In verse 8, he speaks about the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, for which sake he counts all things as loss. Yes, Paul knows of the Lord Jesus by faith, but yet what kind of knowledge is this? It's not a knowledge gained from reading books, as you can get to know people in history. It's not a knowledge gained by just hearing about him. For instance, when I ask you whether you know President Donald Trump, you all would probably answer in the affirmative. Who does not know Trump? You can hear about him every day, and unfortunately, it's not always so positive what you hear. And when you follow the news, you can make a description of his work, his opinions, and even of his character. Much can be known about him. But if I ask you whether you have ever met him, I suspect no one can raise his hand and can elaborate on your personal meeting with him. And when the Apostle Paul says that he knows Christ, he doesn't mean the knowledge which he has gained by hearing and reading about him. This is knowledge gained because he has met the Lord Jesus. This is about personal, experiential knowledge. How could you characterize your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? We all know about him. Most of us know about him from the stories we heard. From Scripture, we know that what he did and what he has said. We know about him because of many sermons we have heard. And can you add more to this? Do you know the Lord because you have met him? This is knowing him by way of communion. You get to know him personally in the way of repentance from sin and turning to him. And when we believe in him, we know of communion with him. He makes room for himself where no room existed. He opens the heart and bends the will and gives enlightened eyes of understanding by which you will meet him under the preaching of his word and while you meditate upon his word. And this happened to Paul in a special manner. The Lord appeared before him on his way to Damascus in a light and a voice from heaven. The Lord Jesus revealed himself to Paul. He called him by his name, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And then Paul asked, who art thou, Lord? And then the Lord made himself known. Paul began to get to know the Lord Jesus. That was not a relaxed conversation. It stormed in Paul's heart when the Lord Jesus made himself known to Paul. He feared and trembled. And the Lord, as it were, arrested him and took away all his self-righteousness. The Lord led him into darkness, since he could no longer see. And while he was blind, he was exposed to his enmity to God and Christ. And in this way, the Lord drew him and caused him to pray. And in the street called Straight, the Lord taught him, and he bowed in humiliation. However, Ananias was sent by the Lord to bring the message of hope and peace. The Lord humbled Paul and filled him with the Holy Spirit. This was Paul's conversion and at the same time his calling to the ministry. That was a unique event, and we shouldn't expect this to happen to any one of us in the same manner. It pleases the Lord to use his ordinary means, namely his word and the preaching of the gospel. But by whatever means the Lord converts us, it will come to a meeting with the Lord, who was crucified and who is risen. And all those who fear the Lord know of this in principle. Maybe you don't know when exactly this took place. Some of us are so privileged of knowing the Lord from their childhood. The Lord worked in your heart a desire for His service. And you know of deep reverence and awe for the Lord, and at the same time of a childlike confidence in Him. But what is a common trait of those who know the Lord? Well, they will pray along with Paul, that I may know Him. This was definitely Paul's prayer. This was his deep yearning. His prayer to know Him is a prayer for an increase in the knowledge of Christ. To know Christ is an ongoing matter. It is a process. To know Him is nothing less than believing Him. Calvin says in his commentary that this points to the efficacy and nature of faith. And I think this is very pointedly said. It points to the efficacy and nature of faith. The nature of true faith includes a heartfelt desire to know Him more. It's a desire that will not be fully satisfied in this lifetime, but that yearns for the completion of this knowledge, which will take place on the day of days when the Lord Jesus comes again. And what drives this nature desire, what drives this natural desire of faith? The love of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Lord pours out His love in the heart, a heartfelt love in return will appear. And one of the traits of love is that you are focused on the other. On the other, the person you love. You want to be in that person's nearness. You want to know the person. And I don't think I need to explain to our young people that if you fall in love with someone and you start a relationship and begin to love each other, that you will not be satisfied with only some knowledge about the other. No, you want to get to know each other by talking and meeting each other. And to the extent you love the other person, you are interested in the other. You want to know the other better, and you desire the other person's nearness. Love is such a mysterious thing which you cannot describe, but which must be felt and which can be noticed since you are so focused on the other. Well, love between two people comes from two sides. But how different is the love to Christ? This love does not originate with you. Christ takes the initiative and maintains it. And if He does not feed this love, we would have already quenched the fire of love. Though filled with the love of Christ by grace, the old man continues to hate Christ. In this lifetime, we are never 100% full of His love, since we remain carnal, sold under sin. And for this reason, Paul prays for more knowledge. He knows himself to be dependent on His love. He knows that he cannot know Christ better if it depends on him. And yet, the new man in him has only one desire, that I may know Him better. Lord, increase my faith. And the heart filled with love wants to know all about Christ. It's like with a marriage. The longer you are married, the better you know each other. It keeps increasing. And in a good and healthy relationship, you will never say, well, I know enough of you. Now you can stay away for a while. No. Because of love, you want to be in each other's company. And this is how we should understand this prayer, that I may know Him. Do you know of this prayer? My faith needs to be exercised. And the miracle of grace is that the Lord knows this already. The Lord does not wait and see whether you will seek Him. The Lord provides means and gives His Spirit so that you will love Him in return, believing Him and knowing Him. And to know Him means that you live in communion with Him and daily meet Him through word and prayer. To know Him means that you are personally bound to Him by love and worship. To know Him is a dependent knowledge. And if we can relate to this, then we also know of that deep soul's longing. What? Of that prayer. Lord, please may I know Thee more. Because to know Thee is life. To know Thee is getting to the purpose for which I was created. To know Thee is living from the fountain of salvation. To know Thee means that I am righteous before Thee through Christ. To know Thee means that I have peace with God. To know Thee means that I may worship Thee, now in part, but soon in full. Now we know in part. Our love is in part. Our faith gets weak because of unbelief and Satan's temptations and by the alluring dainties of the world. It's in part now. And if it's well, from time to time, you suffer from this. Because of this daily struggle, you sigh that I may know Him. And the Lord hears this prayer. He answers by seeking communion with you by the means which He has ordained, means by which we can know Him, the means of His Word. And the Spirit leads us to Christ. God does not depend on means, but it pleases Him to work through them. This is His common way of working in a sinner's heart. He joins His Spirit to His Word so that it will bear fruit, fruit of repentance and faith. And all those who know the Lord by faith are treated in a special way. He gives His people an extra means, since He knows our weaknesses, that we are prone to doubt. He knows that we are slow of heart, though our hearts may burn within us at times, as it did with the two men who went to Emmaus. And yet the Lord said to them, "Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." They were blind. They did not understand. They did not know. But this changed when the Lord Jesus revealed Himself as the risen Christ. And the Lord is still the same. He knows that you do not seek Him with the zeal as you should and that you don't love him as you ought. Your fight against sin and your struggle with the weakness of your flesh is in part. You sense two opposing powers inside of you. You feel sorry for your weaknesses which still remain in you. And yet the Lord comes to us with his, yet there is mercy for such weak believers like you. And his mercy is always in spite of you, thanks to Christ's finished work on the cross. The Lord wants his people to know the mystery of his grace. He is near to those who are of a broken heart and contrite spirit. He points to the means by which he is willing and able to let weak believers sense, I know of you, and I am mindful of you. He wants to feed the hungry and quench the thirsty so that you may know him more and more. And the means are set before us. Just simple bread and wine, which point to the true life, which is Christ itself. The sacrament of the Lord's Supper is the Lord's means to let his people have communion with him and with each other. And he shows his mercy to his people. The table is set, since it still pleases the Lord to teach you further in what he has started in your life, and to let you exercise communion with him. Dear believers, when you look at yourself, you cannot come to the table. When you look in faith to him, you find liberty to come to his table. Oh, you tremble when you look at self. You are unworthy to partake of the sacrament, and yet nothing can refrain you, since his love draws you to him. An unfeigned desire dwells in you, planted by the Lord, namely that you may know him more and more. At this table, he points to his work of redemption. Bread and wine guide you into the mysteries of his work of redemption. Do you know him as the one who is faithful, who is our God-given righteousness? Oh, if you have learned to rely on his finished work, then he invites you to come. He has pleasure in you, seeking communion with you. Come and sup, since all things are ready. Amen.